And now we're going to hear from God's word in the Bible from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18.
This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, as we think about your word this morning, may it inspire us. May we be once again directed back to your amazing Son. Amen. So last week we were looking at Luke's Gospel's account of the birth of Jesus, and we were thinking about Mary and her amazing response to the Lord. This week we're looking at Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, which centres on Joseph rather than Mary. So let's see what we can learn from Joseph today. So here we are. We have the story of Jesus. Matthew's gospel starts with a list of names that is very important, but we won't go into that today. He then settles down to tell us about the birth of Jesus. And just about the first thing that he gives us is a lesson in how to react when you think that your other half has cheated on you. Now, I'm aware that for some of us, introducing the sermon that bluntly may be close to home. It may be that some of us here know exactly what it means to be cheated on by a partner. It may be that some of us here today know what it is to have cheated. One of my big memories as a minister was visiting someone in hospital who was dying. And as I was speaking to her, forgiveness became an important part of the conversation. And she said to me, "Does God forgive everything?" And I said, "Yeah. I really believe he does. God will forgive you no matter what you've done. Come to God, ask him to forgive you, and he will forgive you." And I thought, there's a story here. It was after the funeral I discovered what the story was. That this woman had had an affair with a married man who had left his wife for her. And they had in time got married and had many, many happy years together. And yet, at the back of her mind, for all these years, was this sense of, can God forgive me for what I did? So today, be assured that no matter what you have done, there is forgiveness. That God can always restore our relationship with him. But Joseph believes, at the start of our story today, that he is the one who has been sinned against. Now, to understand the story, there's a few things we need to understand from their culture. The first thing we need to understand is that they didn't have a thing called engagement in those days. They had a thing called betrothal. Now, betrothal, the important thing to realize is that in some senses, it was like what we call engagement today, in that there was this promise that they would get married. But during the period of betrothal, the two, the man and the woman, wouldn't actually live together. It was a period of preparation for the time that they would live together. But the other thing to notice about it is that betrothal was essentially marriage. You were, according to the culture of the day, married from the moment that you were betrothed. So even though you were not yet supposed to be getting up to anything in the bedroom, you were committed to one another. If you were to have sex with somebody else after you were betrothed, it was adultery. And according, at least in principle, to the law of Moses that these people claimed to live by, adultery was a capital offense. So when Joseph realizes that Mary is pregnant, and I'd love to know the details. I'd like to know how Joseph finds out. Part of me likes to think that Mary told him about the visit from the angel, although the story doesn't quite read that way. Did he start to notice a bump and get suspicious? Did he start to notice that certain monthly patterns were different? I really don't know. I really don't know what had happened. But he realizes that Mary is pregnant. He knows the baby is not his. So he comes to the only sensible conclusion, which is that Mary has been cheating on him. And it says in our Bible reading today that Joseph was a righteous man and he didn't wish to expose Mary to public disgrace. Now, if the baby had been Joseph's, as I understand the culture of the time, if the baby had been Joseph's, it would have been a bit awkward. I mean, you weren't supposed to be having sex at this stage in the relationship, but it wouldn't have been a massive problem either. I mean, they could easily have solved the problem by getting married and starting to live together. That's what the law of Moses said they should do. So, embarrassing, but not particularly bad. But Mary being pregnant by somebody else, now that was serious. I doubt they would have done the death penalty on her in practice, but certainly the shame that she would have been made to feel would have been horrific. So Joseph makes his plan that he's going to divorce Mary quietly. Now, divorce in their culture basically consisted of the man giving the woman, divorce didn't work the other way around, it was an incredibly sexist culture, but divorce in those days consisted of the man giving to the woman a piece of paper, which was basically her certificate that she was divorced. Now, in the culture that they lived in, that certificate was incredibly important. Because if this man, who didn't exist, but if this man who'd made Mary pregnant had wished to marry her, well, it would have been completely impossible without that certificate. The way I read the story, I might be reading in more than is right to read here, but it's as if Joseph wants to get it done so quickly they can get the divorce and then she can go to somebody else and Mary will come away without any taint or any shame to her character. Now, I've had some experience in many years of ministry of talking to people who have been cheated on. And I'll tell you that for most people, the first reaction is not to say, I must be nice to my other half. Joseph, even in this utter sense of betrayal, thinks, I'm going to treat Mary well. To Matthew, who writes this gospel, that's what righteousness looks like. As it goes on through Matthew's gospel, he will tell us that Jesus had an awful lot to say about righteousness, about what right behavior looks like. That right behavior is about forgiveness. That right behavior is about dealing with your anger. That right behavior is about loving your enemies. That right behavior is seeking to live like Jesus lives. And here, even before Jesus is born, is somebody who is in tune with Jesus. I think this is just wonderful. Even before Jesus is born, even before Jesus has spoken a word, Joseph is in tune with what Jesus calls us to be. Joseph was a righteous man, it says. He didn't want to expose her. He didn't want her to be shamed. All of us who are here today, every one of us, we have hurt other people, and other people have hurt us. Being like Jesus is about how we respond when these things happen. Are we the sort of people who want to hurt people who hurt us? Are we the sort of people who want revenge? Joseph just isn't like that. And even though, yes, Joseph has jumped to a conclusion, although goodness me, it's about the most reasonable conclusion he could ever have come to, even though Joseph has jumped to a conclusion, in his heart, he will react the right way. And therefore, this Christmas story at this stage challenges us very deeply. How are we with the people who have hurt us? How are we with the people we thought we could trust who have let us down? Do we still love them? Now, I mean, Joseph, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not saying that nothing changes when people let us down. For Joseph, loving Mary now was about letting her go. It was about letting her walk off into the sunset. But there was nothing in his heart that wanted to hurt her. I do believe that in that one verse in Matthew chapter 1, Matthew is signaling something that he's going to come back to later in his gospel as he talks about the story of Jesus. Now, when we have to handle it, when people have hurt us, we don't find that easy. We don't find it simple to react as well as Joseph reacted. I personally doubt that Joseph found it as simple as it said. Did Joseph spend the night agonizing before deciding what to do? Did Joseph have to fight back the desire to be angry and scream and shout at this woman who he had thought loved him? I don't know. But Joseph was a righteous man, and he didn't want to hurt Mary. And Jesus today is still looking for righteous people who don't want to hurt others. Righteous people who are prepared to take the blows without fighting back. Jesus will go on in his life to just say so much about that. And the angel says to him, don't be afraid, this is by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's lots of do not be afraids in the Christmas story. But most of them are because people are afraid of angels. Most of them, when they get a revelation of God, they are scared. Joseph is not afraid of the angel. Joseph isn't cowering because the angel is so scary. No, what Joseph needs to hear is that what he mustn't be afraid of is taking Mary into his home and having her as his wife. And taking responsibility to bring up with this child who he knows biologically isn't his. Jesus is Joseph's son only by adoption, not by biology. And sometimes when we sense that God is calling us to do something, we are afraid of doing it. I can imagine Joseph's thought process here. Well, wait a minute, yeah. Was she really faithful to me? Am I really meant to believe this ridiculous story that she's telling me? But coming to the conclusion, no, I will take the risk. I don't know what it is in your life at the moment where there's just this sense of God is calling me to do something. It could be quite a small thing. It could be about your relationship with one particular person that it would be good to do something about. And the message of the angel is, don't be afraid to do the thing that God wants you to do. Was there some worry in your head as you came in today? I'm facing this today, I'm facing this next week, I'm not sure what's about to happen. You don't need to be afraid. Now, that doesn't mean that everything's going to turn out wonderful. Goodness me, being a parent to Jesus meant that things were going to turn out in some ways very badly for you and with great pain. It's not going to be long before Joseph has to run, before people are killing, before people will get to Jesus and kill him. So do not be afraid. It's not a message that everything's going to be okay. But it's a message that says God is with us. And God is traveling this journey through us. I'm struck by the difference between the way that Mary gets called into this and the way Joseph gets called. Mary gets the visit from the angel. Mary, you are going to be pregnant. You're going to have a child. How can this be? I'm a virgin, or it will be the Holy Spirit. Joseph, as Matthew tells the story, hears nothing about this until Mary actually is pregnant. Something happens, and Joseph is challenged to react to it. And then he realizes, because God starts to speak to him, about what God's call to him actually is. And here's my thought on this. There are times when God calls. There are times when God says to us, you've got to do this. You know, there are those days occasionally, perhaps very occasionally, when you wake up in the morning and you think, I know what God's saying to me today. I know what I have to do. But a lot of the time, what it means to follow Jesus is to get on and to do the righteous thing, to do the right thing in the situation that we are in and let God guide us through it. God waits for Joseph to respond before he calls him. He waits before he speaks to him and explains it all. Don't worry. You know, don't be afraid. This is the Holy Spirit. This is God acting here. And sometimes as Christians, we can be very keen. I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear what he's saying to me. Sometimes Christians worry. Oh, I haven't got any sense of call in my life. I don't think that matters at all. What matters first is that we are understanding what it looks like to follow Jesus and seeking to do something about it. And then if God needs to, God can correct us along the way. And as we read the story of the church, I think that's how it goes. There are occasional wonderful stories when God picks somebody out and calls them to a particular role. The Apostle Paul, for those of you who know his story, is an obvious one, an incredible experience. Paul, I've called you. You've got this new role in your life. But Paul didn't spend his life saying to people, you need to find a calling from God in your life. He said to people, you have a calling from God, and for most of you, it's where you're at the moment. For most of us, our calling today is not to resign our job and to become a missionary on the other side of the earth. For most of us today, our calling from God is to live in a Christ-like way in the situation that we happen to find ourselves in. With that family that God has placed you with, if He's placed you in a family. In that workplace where God has put you, if you have work to do. In that place where you volunteer. Perhaps for some of us, even in that place where you sit on your own for too many hours a day. Discovering a call from God is about working out what it means to live there. I just think it is so significant that Joseph had to work out how to react when he thought he'd been cheated before God spoke to him. So today, in your prayers, if you have a sense that God's calling you to something different, fantastic. But don't let that put you off from saying, Lord, what do you want me to be now? What about the people I will go home to after today? What about the places that I've got to go to this week? Lord, how do you want me to behave there? You know, the Bible doesn't have a problem in saying when it thinks that people are righteous. You know, sometimes we can think, oh, we're all sinners and we all need forgiveness, and that's true. But sometimes the Bible looks at people and they say, that's a good person, and that's a good person, and that's a good person. And the world needs people who are genuinely good. And for Joseph, being good meant that when he discovered that his betrothed, his fiancée, was pregnant, and it wasn't his, righteousness was about responding well. He has a dream, and the angel speaks to him. You know, we live in a world today that loves talking about dreams. I haven't watched any of this season of X Factor, you may be relieved to know. But I am pretty sure that the phrase that they will have said a lot, because it's what they say on these TV programs, is, it's my dream. This is your dream. And you get told, no matter what your dream is, it can come true. That really is a load of rubbish. You know, you see sort of one professional footballer who was brought up in a Brazilian sort of very poor community, and he's now become an international megastar. And it's an amazing rags-to-riches story, and the message is, your dream can happen no matter who you are. No, it can't. But God's dream for Joseph can happen. And God's dream for Joseph is that he should marry Mary and trust her and help her to bring up this child who's going to be so important in God's plan. And you know, for many of us, we're not the superstars of the Christian world. We're not the people that they'll write books about in the next, well, this is true for all of us, I guess, that, you know, they won't write the books about us in the next generation saying about all the incredible things that we achieved. But God has a dream for us. God has a plan for us. The problem sometimes is that we don't see that this plan oops, that this plan is in front of us and staring at us. I mean, though this sort of slightly sideways on this, there's been a bit of a fuss in the Christian world about our supposedly funny Christmas card. Did any of you see that this week? Apparently they published this Christmas card and it had a picture of Mary and Joseph and it said on the text, if only Mary could admit that she'd slept with somebody else. You're not seeing that, no. It's caused quite a fight. I mean, it's a bit offensive, isn't it? But let's not get too carried away here. You know, it might just be the opportunity to get some conversations going. So I was delighted yesterday. I was in W.H. Smith at the Trafford Centre. Thank you. And I came across this Christmas card, and I love this Christmas card. I think I'll pass it round so you can all have a good look at it. You have the shepherds at the front, and they're saying, I still don't see a sign. And behind them, all the sheep doing some incredible gymnastics and seeking to point up to the star, going, it's here! Okay, it was the wise men who saw the star, but we'll forgive them that error of detail in the story. Can we pass that around? Just so that people can see. If people couldn't see it, they can see it as it. But, you know, sometimes we're looking for the sign. We're looking for a call from God. And sometimes God is saying, it's here. It's right in front of you. This is the place where I want you to serve Jesus. This is the place that I want you to glorify me. And in the card, the shepherds can't see it. In reality, sometimes we miss it. Let's be open to God's dream for our lives. And to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. Because Mary is told, and Joseph is told, this is a work of the Spirit. God, in sending his son, has done something beyond anything that a human being can do. And I think the correct way to react to that is not to say, well, Lord, do something that big in me, but to say, Lord, let your Holy Spirit work in me so that I can take my part, however big or however small that seems. You know, Mary plays quite a big part in the gospel. She turns up later on in the story several times. Joseph, after Jesus is 12, disappears off the scene. And people speculate as to why that is. Maybe he died while Jesus was still fairly young. We don't know. But what we do know is that God trusted him with the job that was in hand. We don't need thousands of Christians with fantastic, mind-blowing plans from God today. What we need are hundreds, thousands of Christians who will say to the Lord, I will cooperate with the Holy Spirit in me. Lord, whatever you want to do, let me be part of it. Let me see it. Let me live for it. And so Jesus is born. And he has a father and mother to care for him. And goodness me, they have some scary things to do, like rushing off to Egypt and coming back again. May Jesus be born in us this Christmas time. May we be able to look up to him this year. May we know, like Joseph, what it means to live a righteous life. May this one who is called Emmanuel, God is with us, be with us every step of the way. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you today. Emmanuel, God is with us. Lord, we worship. Father, thank you for this incredible example from Joseph that he behaved well when he thought things were going very badly for him. Lord, for each one of us, as we approach this Christmas, Lord, we do not know even what the next couple of weeks will throw at us. We think we have plans, most of us, but we don't know. Things could happen that will change everything. For some of us, we look forward to Christmas with great delight. For others, it's a hard thing. Perhaps especially for some of us, this year will be hard. But Lord, help us in all things, at all times, at all places, to behave well. Help us to be like Joseph, who just didn't want to hurt Mary, even when he could have said he had every right to do so. Lord, have mercy, we pray. And Lord, we offer to you the things we know we will be doing, the things that fill us with joy, the things that could fill us with fear. Lord, we offer each one of these to you. Help us to be your people in each of these situations. And Lord, if there is any calling on our life, big or small, that you want us to do, Lord, we ask that you would make that clear to us. But Lord, in the meantime, help us to live well, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.